This is episode number 56, Use Your Emotions to Make Decisions. Welcome to the Mindset for Life podcast. This is Bethany, your coach from drbcoach.com, coaching with power, purpose, and practical tools to help you show up with confidence. Welcome, and thank you for joining me for today's podcast. I'm super thrilled that you're here to talk about emotions and how to get clear and make decisions. Did you know many of us believe that emotions make things less clear? It's this idea that facts speak for themselves, but emotions are more subjective. In fact, when we feel difficult emotions, like about a relationship, a situation, or a decision to be made, it's those feelings that keep us from knowing what we should do. It might surprise you to learn that we can actually use our emotions to get clear, to make decisions, instead of being stuck in them or feeling as if we're surrounded by fog. Today, I'm going to share some ideas with you that will help you out. You're going to get some insight about how to use your emotions to work for you instead of against you. And you are going to get a great tip for bringing out your best emotions in situations where you want to feel your best. How do emotions create mindset? Or how do they connect to your mindset? Emotions actually are driven by the limbic system in the brain. We think with this higher level part of our brain more consciously, more intentionally. Emotions are just below that, and often they can filter what we're thinking. They can actually prompt us to think in certain ways we might otherwise not think about. And understanding and getting a hold of our emotions is critical to having good performance at work, positive relationships, and good thoughts about ourselves. Emotions are very connected to what we think and how we perceive everything around us. Each one of us has a system where we assume, filter information, process our experiences. It's so closely tied to emotion that many times we're not really clear that emotion is part of that experience. For all of these reasons, understanding your emotions, connecting to them, feeling them, recognizing them clearly, and interpreting what you're feeling, these are all critical to making great decisions. In other words, mindset is not about only thinking. It's about the way you perceive everything in your experience, including the emotional content. As an educator for the past 25 years and a certified professional coach, I'm passionate about helping people live and lead as the best versions of themselves. I'm all about helping you get clarity so that you can put good out into the world, so that you can have an impact in those things you do and be satisfied being who you are. So here's what we're going to cover today. First, what emotions do you feel most often? Second, how can you identify, recognize, and feel your emotions more clearly? And why is it important to feel them rather than suppress them or stuff them? Third, emotions give us helpful information and feedback about what's important to us. Think about your values and what matters to you in any given situation, and how can you use this to your advantage? And lastly, you can slow down, notice what messages your emotions are sending you, and what this means for the decisions you're facing. How can you see this decision more clearly? So let's jump in. First, what emotions do you feel most often? Emotion has been the subject of much research, and some of this research indicates that people have a wide range of emotions, and yet we don't really know how to identify them or exactly what we're experiencing when it's happening. There are a lot of reasons for this. I'll start with this one. In the 1970s, a psychologist named Paul Ekman identified basically six emotions that were universally experienced in all cultures, and those were happiness, sadness, disgust, fear, surprise, and anger. We all feel happiness to some degree, surprise, and of course fear makes a lot of sense, and sadness. Disgust might be surprising to you. This is a universal emotion in most cultures, and anger, of course, as well. Whether you believe these are primary emotions, emotions you can easily generate, or secondary emotions is not really relevant. The important part is to realize that no matter where you live or what culture you're in, these emotions are pretty common and universal. At the same time, there are literally thousands of words in the English language alone for emotions, all kinds of emotions that distinguish fine-tuned differences in what someone is experiencing and feeling at any given moment. Even though that's the case, there really are some pretty common emotions most of us feel. And on the positive side, that might be love, forgiveness, awe, joy, interest, hope, pride, serenity, contentment, peace. All of these positive emotions are things that people tend to say they're seeking when they're looking for some positive part of their life. When thinking about different kinds of emotions you can actually feel, there's been a little bit of research about how many emotions you can really feel, especially all at one time. There's an idea that there are really five categories to emotions, and these are emotions like enjoyment. And within that category, we feel happy, calm, good, etc. The second category would be types of sadness. Sadness, despair, discouragement, disappointment. Those are all in that same category of sadness. Fear. Fear happens when you're being threatened or when your brain is sensing something important to you is being threatened. Then anger, of course, any type of injustice, offense, blame, accusation. Anger usually comes from those kinds of things. And then disgust, as I mentioned before. Now, among all these emotional studies, one particularly intrigues me, and that's a 2015 study where there were over 11,000 people monitored throughout the day in real time. They put a device on them that measured their emotional response. And in this study, it was discovered that people had profoundly emotional experiences almost all the time. During the day, people experienced at least one emotion 90% of the time. And surprisingly, the most frequent emotion was joy. Right after that, the next two emotions were love and anxiety. People actually had positive emotions 2.5 times more often than they had negative emotions. And they also experienced positive and negative emotions simultaneously pretty often. Did you ever know that you could feel both positive and negative emotions at the same time? This idea is a new one for me, and it also makes a lot of sense. If we think about any experience where we had some intense emotion, most of those experiences come with intensely positive and intensely negative emotions. Much of those conflicting emotions that are happening at the same time come because of the thoughts we're having. Maybe something is great for us, but it's actually not great for other people. During the pandemic in 2020, many people have had intensely positive experiences while others are suffering greatly. In any positive experience, there's that thought, well, is it okay for me to be happy? Is it okay for me to be feeling this positive thing when so many people are suffering? And so there's this huge amount of sadness, despair, guilt, fear. At the same time, someone who's experiencing something profoundly negative could also be kind of happy that there's this ability to move on or see something around them that's bringing joy at the same time. It makes a lot of sense that we feel conflicting emotions at the same time. Emotions happen often, and if we're not aware of what our primary emotions are that we are feeling, it's a great opportunity to slow down and start to notice. How do you feel? What are you feeling? Are you feeling more than one thing at a time? What is that? And break it down and figure out what are your primary emotions. Some of the happiness research out there actually states that people have a default mode where we primarily feel the positive emotions over the negative emotions. So a great deal of the time, our fallback emotion is a positive one. Basically, our resting state is happiness. This is a bit of a challenge for you in the coming week. I challenge you to observe, to notice, and to pay attention to which emotions you feel most often, more regularly, and just identify what are your default mode emotions and what comes most commonly to you. Now we're going to move to the second part of our topic today, which is how to identify, recognize, and feel your emotions. Why is it important to feel them instead of stuffing or suppressing them? Now, as a professional coach, I've had a lot of people ask me how to control their emotions, but I've been surprised to find that some people actually want to learn how to stuff their emotions. They don't want to feel them, they want to disregard them, and they'd like to get rid of them altogether in certain situations. This may sound a little strange to you, but I'll explain some of these situations. One could be if you have to face someone who's really difficult and it brings with it some intense negative emotions, pain, suffering, hurt, heartache, despair. If you have to experience someone that you know is difficult with you, it makes sense that at times you would not want to feel those painful emotions in the moment. Although I understand that, and it makes a lot of sense, it's also a better experience for you to learn how to see that person differently. You can also focus on transforming the way you present yourself around a difficult person or how often you decide to experience that negative person in your life. There are so many ways that you can handle the negative experience you have with a person who is difficult. I would suggest that it's more healthy to explore those options rather than stuffing or suppressing your emotions. Your emotions give you valuable information their helpful feedback. When you learn to recognize them, understand how you're feeling and why you're feeling it, you can make much better decisions that work for you instead of feeling like life is out of control and everyone else seems to be in control but you. One way to learn to identify your emotions is to think about the way your body feels. Interestingly, emotions are created by chemicals that rush through our body. We have all kinds of hormones, all kinds of chemicals. The brain generates signals, and those things move throughout our body. For example, intense positive emotion is often associated with the chemical dopamine. Many people who become addicted to substances are looking for that positive rush or that positive energy. There are a lot of other things that cause negative emotions or things we might consider to be negative emotions. Again, associated with some kind of chemical that's functioning in the brain and then moves throughout the body. We can learn to identify our emotions better when we slow down and notice how our body is physically feeling. Do we have tension in the body? Are there places in the body that are tense? Do you feel emotion in a particular part of your body? I used to think that idea was kind of strange, but in several studies, they've figured out that you might feel emotions in your chest, in your heart area, or more in your shoulders and arms, or in your brain section, you know, part of your head. You might feel emotion in your torso. You might feel it in your hands or all over your body. Start to notice what part of your body has a sensation. And what might that emotion be that is triggering that feeling? The more you do this, the more you can realize that you do experience a wide range of emotions, and you can start to narrow down what would you call that emotion. Is it anger? Is it sadness, grief, disappointment, joy, happiness? All kinds of emotions are available to you and accessible to you, so identifying them and determining why you're feeling them or what they're relating to is very helpful. Once you've started to identify, there are many other researchers out there that will tell you that the emotion experience itself does not last very long. In fact, Dr. Rosenberg will tell you that it takes about 90 seconds for those emotions to pass through your body. When you relive the experience by thinking about it again and experiencing it again in the brain, then you are again feeling that emotion. So it's about a 90-second experience to feel your emotions physically. And if you will relax and feel that emotion, it will pass and you can recover and move to the next thing, especially if it is a negative emotion and you don't really want to feel it. The key reason here about why it is so important to feel your emotions and acknowledge them rather than suppressing or stuffing them, is that it can heighten your sensitivity to emotion. It can keep you open, alert, and aware of what you're feeling, and it can help you generate useful information from your emotions about what you're thinking and help you understand what's important to you. Now that moves me to the third point today. Emotions give us helpful information and feedback about what's important to us. Think about your values. What do you care most about in life? You might have a different set of values in your personal life than you do at work. What do you care most about at work? What do you value most in other people and in yourself? Your emotions give you information and feedback about what's going on in any given situation. Think about what matters most to you, how you feel about things, and why. Once you start to reflect on this and realize if you have an intense emotion about something, it's giving you a message that it matters a lot to you. You care about it, and you really want to follow through or deal with a situation. Acknowledging that is very healthy and helps you stay in tune with who you are and what you think and feel. Lastly, I recommend slowing down, noticing what messages your emotions are sending you, and deciding what does it mean for the decisions you're facing. When you think about what your emotions are telling you, interestingly enough, I've been in some workshops or read some things that talk about how your emotions can actually lie to you. This could be true because some emotions are triggered by the thoughts we're thinking. If we think something that we assume and it's not really true and the emotion follows it, the emotion might be based on a story that is not accurate. So in some cases, we're going to feel intense emotion that is based on presumption, assumption, stories that are just not fully developed. When we notice our emotions and we realize what we're feeling, sometimes it can actually give us the thought that we should step back and re-examine our thinking. For example, if someone has offended us and we notice that we're angry, hurt, and upset, those emotions can be a signal to us. We need more information. We need more understanding. Getting back to that 2015 study I shared with you earlier, in those 11,000 plus participants, they noticed positive emotions happened 2.5 times more often than negative emotions, but they also noticed people experienced positive and negative emotions simultaneously, relatively frequently. You know what that means? We have a choice. In any given situation, if we're feeling both positive and negative emotions, it's going to be very difficult to figure out what we're really predominantly feeling. So in some instances, we probably develop this filter where we choose the positive emotion or the negative emotion more often. And we kind of walk away thinking, yep, this is what I'm feeling, when really we've got a couple of things going on at one time. If the most common emotion people feel, again, based on research, is joy, and yet we're feeling negative a great deal of the time, that can be a red flag to us that it's time to go back to our thinking and examine how we're making our decisions and what emotions are likely fueling our direction. If we notice it's primarily the negative emotions, then we can go back and realize that's a filter, and it might not be giving us the whole story. To sum it all up, today I've shared with you the important role emotions play in your life and why they matter so much in making decisions. I've noticed that many of the people I've coached have spent a lifetime trying to push their emotions aside and wanting to escape them. This could be because emotions seem to hijack us in the moment. We struggle to control them. But when we slow down, notice what our emotions are really telling us, and let them in, they can actually help us see things more clearly, revisit our thinking, and make decisions that keep us aligned with who we really are and who we want to be. If now is the right time for you to learn how to use your strengths, your values, and your emotions to gain confidence and experience a transformation, no matter how small, visit me on my website, drbcoach.com. Although I have very limited openings right now for new clients, I would love to help you take things forward in your life to the next level, in your life, your work, and your relationships. Thanks for joining me today. You can find me on the web at drbcoach.com and on my Facebook business page listed as Dr. B. H. Coach. This has been a podcast called Mindset for Life by Bethany at drbcoach.com. To find me on the web, you can visit my blog or my website at www.drbcoach.com. That's drbcoach.com.